We welcome Melissa and being our guest singer today, together with the choir. I can't thank all of you enough, especially, you know, Jim's been here during the week trying to prepare for worship this Sabbath, and to those of you who have prepared the place for us to have a wonderful worship experience, thank you for using your time and using it for Jesus. I know you have other things that you need to do during the week, but just giving that little portion of your time to be here so that we can have a beautiful worship experience is an act of worship as well. Thank you, choir. Thank you, everyone. I am so overwhelmed with so much love because, you know, the flowers keep on coming. The cards keep on coming. You know, you have always been there for us in our difficult times. But let me tell you, too, the Garcia family is going through a really difficult time as well. Herman's father passed away. So Herman and Demetria, they're not here today. I can feel the pain. Oh, there is Herman. Oh, I didn't see you. And Demetria, oh, they're here. So let's have prayer for them. It's difficult to be here and then, you know, being away from family. So I want to go down. I just want to, you know, pray for Herman and Demetria in a very special way, if we can do that right now. Loving God, here we are, your children, sharing the sadness and the brokenness of life. Well, Lord, thank you that you're our God who really feels our pain and knows what we're going through. Because there was one day, on a dark Friday afternoon, that your only son died, and you as a father also had a broken heart. So we really believe that you feel our pain, you feel our brokenness, you feel the things that is going on in our lives, especially with Herman and Demetria. Lord, please comfort them. May we as a church family be there for them, to lift them up, to walk with them in this difficult journey of loss, but with great hope, because we know that you will restore life again, that there will be a time that there will be no more goodbyes, and that we will see our loved ones once again. We'll look forward for that time. We have this hope that is in our hearts because of Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Our condolences as a family, as a church family, for you. Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, nobody is prepared when things like this happen. And so today, we're gonna go ahead with. I was waiting for the resources. It's not arrived yet, but there were one of the times several weeks ago, our leadership went to this wonderful experience about being contagious for Jesus, contagious Adventist. And for those of you who were there, I believe that you really have been beautifully blessed by the testimonies and that amazing experience you have. The word contagious is not nice in a sense, because it is related to something that is bad, like, for example, disease. So the word is not really good. And then with the coming of this virus, a lot of people panicked. But do you know
as the Business Insider brought us back to history, that in the U.S., in 1918, the H1N1 virus killed at least 50 million people and infected one-third of the world's population. H1N1, which is influenza, which is now we have the flu, and then there's different kinds of flu. Every year it's a different kind of strain. So it took me last year to have a flu vaccine. I did not believe in vaccination. I said, if my body is strong, my immune system, so I don't need a vaccine. But as I was arguing with my primary care physician, she said, you are in greater danger now than before with the different strains that is happening in our world and the disease that's happening. Finally, you know, and okay, as long as I'm not going to be allergic to it, as long as I, you know, and so I put everything out and said, I am taking it, but as long as it's not going to make me, you know, sick. So the idea is there's some of the strains that are taken and then being put together so that your body will have its own immune system to fight whatever it is. So that was the idea. I cannot explain it more than our folks in the medical field. But flu is contagious. And so here's what happened. In the U.S., the virus forced public meetings, schools, teachers, theaters to shut down. In just 1 year, 675,000 Americans died. That was the flu before. This was 1918. And then you will see a lot of different information about this. So influenza had put the pandemic beginning in France, China, and then the U.S. The first confirmed case of the virus in the U.S. occurred in the spring of 1918 at an army camp in Fort Riley, Kansas. 2 weeks later, 1,100 soldiers were admitted to the hospital, and then thousands were sick in the camp, and then at that time, 38 soldiers died. So they didn't have enough information on how to combat it at the time. It's so much different from our time today. But look, we're not going to be talking about virus that is contagious, like the flu or NCOV, like this. We know, you know, it's basic kindergarten understanding that when these kinds of things happen, wash your hands all the time. Don't touch your eyes. Don't touch your nose. Don't touch your mouth. You know, that's where the virus goes in. So disinfect all the time. You know, avoid shaking hands as much as possible with people who are infected or you know are infected. If you are having cough, sneezing, please cover. Don't use your hand to cover when you cough or sneeze. Use the sleeve. So these are basic. And wherever we are in the world, we are going to find things like this, even deadlier than this. So our faith in God needs to be more centered on what God is doing in our lives, but at the same time, we need to have precautionary measures. We cannot be irresponsible about things like this as well. So we'll have a meeting with our leadership and see things, look and assess, you know, not to cause panic, but at the same time to be able to do what is right in preparation for whatever will come. Now, how's your walk with Jesus this week? It is tough for many, but it is also beautiful to be able to ask this question, knowing that we have a God who is always present, who does not leave us nor forsake us, who says and keeps his covenant, even if we fail, even if I don't keep my promise, God does. Even if I am faithless, he is faithful. And that's the God that we serve. And so as we journey with Jesus this year, let us keep that as foremost. That God is who he is, and who he claims he is faithful to deliver what he has promised. If you read the stories in Scripture, you will not find God trying to require something that his people cannot deliver. But he is not a God who says, well, I think I changed my mind because you did not deliver. So when we talk about our journey with Jesus, it's going to be hard. But at the same time, there is always hope of growth. But here's another thing that I want you to remember. As I've been repeating this, but look, your journey is not meant to be by yourself. So if you say, okay, I read my Bible by myself and I go to church and I don't have, but then I don't have connection with God's people, I think you're in a dangerous area. You cannot grow by yourself. So your walk with Jesus is so important that is going to be shared with another, with a family, with a church family. You cannot grow by yourself. So how's your walk with Jesus? And then the next question I have asked all the time is how much of what you have accomplished this week has brought you or another person closer to Jesus? Because we want to grow deeper. And this year, this is our word. But since you have, some of you have been part of the contagious, we're going to go through that process of learning too. We are going to go and in the process of being contagious positively, being contagious for Jesus Christ. Because it is very, I would say, it is very difficult to understand that I learn something if I don't share it with someone. The best way, as the professors that we have, the teachers have already taught us, the best way to learn is actually to share what you have learned. And the best way to be able to maintain that kind of learning is continuing to share it. So how can we be more contagious in sharing what we have? As I have shared with you earlier, you know, being contagious, the truth is we think that germs come because of the cold weather. But the truth is germs not... I would rather say sickness comes because of cold weather, but the truth is germs is the cause of the sickness rather than the cold weather. And the reason why we catch more of the cold is because we are more indoor during winter and we don't really see the sun a lot. So in the Philippines, there's only 3 cases of coronavirus and they have solved the case. The reason is because, you know, we have a tropical weather. So coronavirus is actually dies in the heat, in the sun. And when people are always active outside, they don't get it. But for us, because of winter, you know, we're contained in spaces. We're contained inside. We don't go out because it's cold. We don't have the sun that really kills germs. Then that's where it's coming more. And it's not just coronavirus. It's influenza, flu. When you are always at home, you don't see the sunlight. You have no natural way of taking out this virus. So as we, as Christians, look into our situation, we need to be contagious because of what we know and what we have. As it is, when we were traveling, we don't want to be contagious, or don't want to acquire, but then we realize that, oh, you know, there's some holes here. You can still have the virus. But I think the doctor said it right, that it is more preventive for somebody who is, you know, has something instead of being a protection for those who don't have it. And so we were trying to, and then I just realized, oh, wow, we were really doing something that is not there. We're not coughing, we're not sneezing, we're not, you know, but we're traveling. Maybe it will help us not touch our faces, and that's what happens. And so as we look into Paul's writing, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul brought an amazing thing here. 2 Corinthians 2, and if we start with verse 14, Paul says, "But thank God, he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere." Well, not like a virus, but like a sweet perfume. We gotta be contagious with what we have learned. And Paul is telling us that he has made us his captives. God has made us his captives. You know what this means? Paul was trying to portray a picture of a Roman general. And here's what the Romans do when they conquer. And that depends upon the soldier or the general. Most of them would be very cruel and brutal. But a good general will actually do a triumphal procession. The general that is bad will do a triumphal procession with all the captives, you know, very, they will be chained and they will be really disheveled because they were actually captured and now they become slaves. But the good generals, they would have these people parade and they will give them gifts for goodness so that for political reasons, you know, this city can be a city that this general will be able to flourish and live with his goodness and goodwill. And this is what Paul is trying to depict about Jesus having his people as captives. He is going to parade them with goodness and parade them with the best triumphal procession because now he has conquered them from the darkness of sin to light. And so he's portraying Jesus here as the great general who is a good general and parades his captives with a triumphal procession. That is good. You can find this language here. You can find this language in the book of Ephesians. And also, then there will be a sweet perfume. Like everybody is like, oh, there's something happening. And they can smell that because there's just this aroma that is happening as the people are parading. As we were going in our travel to Israel, it was so interesting when we went to Bethpage. Bethpage was the place where Jesus started his triumphal entry. And one of the amazing things that our tour guide said was, you know, one of the things that the people do for a parade like that is when they anoint the king or the general. The anointing happens, and this aroma and the most sweet smell of perfume will actually draw people. And there will be, what's the smell? What's the smell? And then our tour guide said, can you imagine Jesus passing through and people are like, what's that smell? Following him because of that smell. Your smells are contagious. When you have the gospel story of Jesus, you have a smell that is contagious. And people will be, you know that. You know, some of you beautiful ladies would have this smell. And when this beautiful lady enters the room and all the men is like, just following that smell. It's not so strong. It's not so light. It's just the right amount of smell that everybody's like, wow. But this is really the story of the gospel in every single believer. You are contagious because you smell like Jesus. And then Paul gives us that picture. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God, but this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. You see that? You see, you are contagious, but what kind of smell do you bring? So I think I learned a lesson here that contagious believers are infected by Jesus. The infection is because of Jesus. Let me go back and read this. In verse 14 it says, but thank God he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread that knowledge. So, how's your smell? Are you infected by Jesus that you smell like him? Or are you claiming to be infected by Jesus but you smell stinky? So how's your life? I think this is so important for us to learn as Paul brings us this picture that it is the knowledge of Christ that spreads everywhere. So what is that knowledge? How is that being translated in the way we live our lives? Because the reality of what we have here is actually seen in the way we treat other people. And in many cases, it is seen in those we really are not familiar with. Where we go. So how's the grocery clerk seeing us? Are we smelling like Jesus? How's your nurse in the doctor's office see you? How's your classmate relate to you? Are you smelling like Jesus? And so Paul gives us this. And the second point that I would like to share is that contagious believers are infectious for Jesus. The other one is we are infected by Jesus, then we are now going to be infectious for Jesus. And so Paul brings us into this reality. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. What does that mean? So, incense was scattered along the parade route, as I have explained earlier. So there's this aroma of this victorious general, and it was received in one of two ways. For the captives who were on their way to the arena, that is, for the captives, it is death. Like, so if this Roman general conquers them, some of them are going to be put to death. And then it was a dreadful smell of death and doom. But for the victors, it was a life-giving perfume. So it is with the lives of those who proclaim the everlasting gospel, which leads people to eternal life or seals the faith of the person who rejects it. So that's the picture. That's what we see in the context of Paul bringing in this. But Jesus is the general that brings captives to be with him. And the amazing thing is in Revelation that Jesus has a throne for us and shares that victory with us. The other issue is if that is not about a victory being shared, that is about death. And so Paul gives us this picture of what is happening in this scenario. So contagious believers are infectious for Jesus because Jesus provides that for them. And we reflect, we smell like Jesus because we are with Jesus. The most amazing thing that you can find in the book of Acts about the people's determination of how these people lived is this word. We know they have been with Jesus. That's what the determination. We know that they have been with Jesus. That's what the book of Acts will tell us. So, number three, contagious believers are incurably devoted to Jesus. Because our lives now are about sharing and smelling and, you know, this picture of being contagious continues on for us and the way we live our lives. So we as believers become more like Jesus, experience a deeper level of joy because of what Jesus is doing in our lives, and then people notice the difference in the lives of in our lives. That's the reason why we become contagious, and then we are entrusted with what God has given us to spread the gospel to all. So, contagious believers are incredibly devoted to Jesus. They're infected by Jesus. Their lives are very infectious, and they have caught God's love in Jesus. And they urgently and infectiously offer it all to who are willing to consider it. So what does this mean for us? This means that our lives are seen as people who live in trust and faithfulness to Jesus. It is seen when there are crisis situations like this. Are we sacrificially giving our lives to Him? It is seen in the way we do work for companies. It is seen in the way we treat our spouses. It is seen in the way we treat our classmates in school. How do I live in the times of crisis? Am I more crisis-centered or Christ-centered? But contagious believers entrust Jesus with today. And contagious believers entrust Jesus with their tomorrows. When we have that saving relationship with Jesus Christ, we entrust our lives to Him for eternity. When we have that saving relationship with Jesus Christ, when crisis happens, we have the opportunity to help people see that we have a God who is faithful and who delivers and keeps His covenant. This is why we as contagious believers are devoted to Jesus no matter what. So as we look into our lives today, as we come into the realization of where we are in our journey with Jesus, we have to realize that life with Christ is a fragrant offering. His fragrance needs to permeate the way we live our lives. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death and doom. But to those who are being saved, we are a life-giving perfume. And who is adequate? Who is adequate to such a task as this? Paul is asking that question. So, Bill Hybels gives us this picture. The attitudes and actions of Jesus' followers would either draw people toward a relationship with God or push them further away. So Jesus was pleading with His people then and now to live in a way that would draw people toward the Father. How we conduct our lives has implications that reach all the way into eternity. So how are you going to live your life this week? Are you going to be a fragrance for Jesus? Would you like to smell the way Jesus smells? Would you like to be more contagious? Simple things here that we can find as I close. Ministry of Healing 492. Cultivate the habit of speaking well of others. Look at that. Dwell upon the good qualities of those with whom you associate, and see as little as possible of their errors and failings. You hear that? And that's being sweet smelling. And then it says, when tempted to complain of what someone has said or done, praise something in that person's life or character. Cultivate thankfulness. Praise God for His wonderful love in giving Christ to die for us. Wow, this is so beautiful. And then it says here, still ministry of healing, a cold, sunless religion never draws souls to Christ. See that? Cold and sunless. It drives them away from Him into the nets that Satan has spread for the feet of the straying. Instead of thinking of your discouragements, think of the power that you can claim in Christ's name. Let your imagination take hold upon things unseen. Let your thoughts be directed to the evidences of the great love of God for you. Faith can endure trial, resist temptation, bear up under disappointment. Jesus lives as our advocate. All is ours that His mediation secures. Oh, I love it. I love it. And so as we walk with Jesus, to walk with Jesus this way, let's share the sweet smelling aroma of His life and be contagious so that others may smell it. So Paul then declares this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Oh, wow. Instead, fix your attention to God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. And unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-informed maturity in you. That's actually Romans 12, 1 and 2. And that's the Message version, which is beautiful. So, let's be that sweet-smelling, contagious aroma of Jesus this week. You will have stories next Sabbath that you are going to share. You will have that because that's who you are. You were made for that. You were made to carry that sweet smelling aroma. So when, as we close, I'd like to invite our praise team. Well, let's all stand. Let's enjoy this moment with Jesus. As He invites us to continue on what He has started. One who said, He who began a good work, one who is faithful to complete it, all in Christ Jesus.